Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. I thank you for joining me as we are continuing a message I began on Monday, a vision of the Lord. And we were looking at the sixth chapter of the prophet Isaiah when he had a transforming, life-changing experience. He'd already been moving in the ministry of a prophet, but it began a new dimension in his life and ministry. And so we, I believe, have to follow the same pattern that is shown in that sixth chapter. Obviously, he knew the Lord. He loved God. He was prophesying to the people of Israel. But we need a vision of Jesus, a personal relationship of him in our lives, not just going to church, not just confessing that we're saved. Praise God for all of that. But there is a depth of relationship that Jesus wants to bring us into. And like Isaiah, when we really began to see and experience the Lord, then I would suggest, as happened to Isaiah, you really begin to see yourself. What did he say? In verse 5 of chapter 6, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone." He recognized his real condition, "because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And the following two verses, an angel comes and takes a live coal off of the altar, touches it to his lips, and says, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." And that's what was necessary for Isaiah. But when we experience Jesus, we have our sins washed away. We are as perfect in our spirit man, not our soul. Our bodies are temporary. Until we receive a body like Jesus, but we will realize our own limitations, our own shortcomings, the sin in our own lives. You know, Jesus said, as he spoke, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." So that's basically what preaching the gospel is. I've said recently, sharing with some of the partners, you know, there was a saying I heard years ago, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. In other words, our lives, our attitude, our demeanor, everything about us should reflect the beauty of Jesus. Patience, long-suffering. If you want to know what Jesus is like, it's the fruit of the Spirit, which are outlined in Galatians, peace, long-suffering, love, joy, all these things. That's our ideal. That's what we aim and shoot for. So we have to lift up Jesus. But before we can really effectively do that, we have to see ourselves as we really are, or as we thought we were, okay? But we have to understand, I'm sharing this because Isaiah was not condemned. The purpose of that inward look is not to bring condemnation, because Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn it. He came to save it. Isn't that right? He preached the ministry of the gospel of reconciliation. And what was that ministry? It was a ministry of the love of a heavenly Father for his children. It was a plea for mankind to be reconciled to God. God wants others to see you in Christ and also Christ in you. That's the transforming vision, beloved. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we need to lift him up in our personal lives. I'm not talking about outward ministry so much as, you know, standing on a street corner, handing out tracts, or being active in the church. All that's wonderful, good, as God directs. But in our spirit man, in our heart, in our soul, I should say, really, we need to lift him up. And as we do so, as we desire that vision of Jesus, that relationship with him, only then can the burning cleansing of the Holy Spirit be known, his power. It must be all of Jesus and none of self, beloved. A Christian who's self-satisfied, well, unfortunately, they're not a candidate for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. Are they saved? Of course. But it is those that have gone through suffering and the testings and the afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And he dwells with those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit to revive them. That's what he does. And so it's the broken, yielded, pleading soul that's crying out to God that the Lord will come to minister, just as the seraphim brought the live coals fresh from the altars of God. But in the time of Jesus, was it the self-righteous Pharisee? No, it was the man who saw the Lord high lifted up that he starts to cry, as Isaiah did, "Woe is me." And so we need to ask ourselves, have we had a real transforming vision of the Lord, no matter how long you've walked with him? Have you really seen him in his glory and majesty? Have you seen him high and lifted up? Have you beheld him in his glory? The transforming vision of the Lord was not and is not confined to the days of the ancient prophet Isaiah. Throughout the ages, the saints, the centuries have experienced this same story over and over again. They were the ones who walked with the power of God that evidenced the signs and miracles that Jesus commissioned us to do. He didn't just say, well, now that I'm going, he said, these works that I do, even greater will you do. Saints throughout the ages have always told of the manifestation of his glory. And his glory is such that we're blinded by his beauty, we're overwhelmed. Anyone, as I've read books, people that have had an experience of going to heaven or had a vision of Jesus, they fall at his feet. And that's what John, the beloved apostle, he leaned on Jesus' breast. When he saw Jesus, as recorded in the opening chapters of Revelation, he fell at his feet as dead. If I can do anything, and I feel the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, we are only just beginning. I don't care if you walk decades with the Lord. We're going to have eternity with him, and I trust we're still going to be learning through all the ages of eternity of the glory of God. Hallelujah. What happens is, if we have this transforming vision, there is a death of self. And for Isaiah, it was in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Can we be satisfied with anything less? Can we be satisfied with our poverty when the Lord desires to make us rich in spiritual treasure? Shall we not let go of everything and just rely totally on Jesus? It is him working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then when at last we reach glory, we will be able to testify to the angels that live coal from off the altar and the seraphim who anointed the lips of clay with living fire, as they did for Isaiah, that we will have a story and our testimony will be the same. In the year that our Uzziah's died, we saw the Lord. Praise God. God is so gracious. He's so beautiful. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus as recorded in the Gospels, have you noticed the appeal that surrounds him? It's a gospel that's devoid of condemnation. What does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He doesn't have contempt. He doesn't turn away from the most vile sinner. He expresses when he walked the face of the earth, and to this day expresses such tenderness and deep understanding of the human nature. He did that when he approached the sinners of his day. He does that today. He's not changed. And that's the thing that horrified the Pharisees to such an extent. They were scandalized that he would eat in a sinner's house, that he would let a woman who was a sinner weep over his feet and wipe them with the hair of her head. They thought it was scandalous. They looked with disdain at the man that they hated, but they did not see Jesus. They didn't see Jesus as he really was and as he really is. He's without change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And instead of condemning the sinner, he doesn't condemn us today. He is trying to get us to see him, to see the living Christ. And we all need to see Jesus in a very personal way. He just wants to deepen our walk with him. And if Christ be lifted up from the earth in testimony, in conduct, in preaching, that's what the word says. He'll draw all men unto himself. More men are drawn to the Savior than scared away because they're a wretched sinner. When a sinner really looks at Jesus, he doesn't need anything to convince him that he is a sinner. He knows it. He sees his own sinfulness. He sees the iniquity of his own heart. Why? Because there is the light of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the Word of God that reveals our condition without the Lord. And even as we are his, he shows us areas that we need to be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior. Praise God. Well, I have more to share and will continue tomorrow at the same time. I thank you for joining me. But if any time you miss a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast. They are archived there for your listening convenience. And as always, I extend an invitation to those who listen to write and share your prayer needs. You may not have a prayer partner. You may not At this point, some of you may not even have a church home. You're looking for a place where God would have you to worship. But there's power, it's a spiritual principle. There's power in agreeing prayer. Jesus recorded that in Matthew. So I invite you to write if the Holy Spirit's moving upon you, and we will agree together, even if they're unspoken, that you take that step of obedience. I can pray in the Spirit, and God knows what the need is. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,